I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefit towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time where we can gather to study of your word and thereafter to pray. We pray for a fruitful time as we determine, Lord, what is the meaning of your word? Grant us application that your spirit would teach us what it is you desire us to learn. So we commit this time into your care. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, all of us have experienced deliverance from God, right? You know, maybe in some small way or others in bigger ways. You know, sometimes the deliverance, you know, is for things fairly insignificant. We may not think about it until sometime later. But sometimes the deliverance is very extraordinary, and we know straight away it's from the Lord. Now, the psalmist here experienced the second form of deliverance. He recognized it straight away. He knew that from his extreme troubles, the Lord rescued him. Now, verse 3 tells us the kind of trouble he was going through. It was almost as if he was trapped by death. Right, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. Now, this could be physical danger, or it could be an unbearable circumstance. You know, Job experienced two, right? He experienced physical problems and, of course, great distress. So whatever the situation here was, we know that there was affliction, right? There was opposition. Now, because there was deliverance, God delivered the psalmist does four things, and these four things will be our four main points today. Firstly, he resolved to love God. That's the first point. He resolved to love God. Secondly, he remembers how the Lord delivered him. He remembers how the Lord delivered him. Thirdly, he responds with grateful acknowledgement. He responds with grateful acknowledgement. And fourthly, he resolves to praise God. He resolves to praise God. So firstly, he resolves to love God. Verses 1 to 2, he makes a declaration, right? I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now here we see that there are two parts. Firstly, he resolves to love the Lord. Why? Because God heard his prayer. And the second part is he will continue to pray because God has heard, or God has answered his prayer. I think it's important here to take a step back. We don't love the Lord merely because he does things for us, right? Oh, we love the Lord because he does bless us. But what does the Bible say? We love him because he first loved us, right? So, albeit the psalm does say, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications, what's he actually trying to say? I love the Lord because the Lord loved me so much to hear my prayers and my supplications, right? And we know that the Lord loves us by, you know, sending Christ to die for us. The Bible tells us that, you know, God says to his people, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, right? So he resolves to love God because God loves him, and God has shown his love by answering his prayers. Now, secondly, he remembers how the Lord had delivered him. Now, everyone goes through trials. Job 14 verse 1 says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. So a man who is born from a woman, he doesn't live very long, and his days are full of trouble. Now, what this means is everyone. There's no one who's not born of a woman, right? Yeah, there's no one that's not born of a woman. So everyone has short life and a painful life. And the situation in which the psalmist found himself was actually quite discouraging. We already kind of read verse 3, right? Sorrows of death compassed me. Pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So it seemed as if death was all around him, you know, as if he was being pulled, you know, further down to death. So this was the circumstance that God delivered him. And because of that, in verse 4, he said, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Because he was in such a trouble, he called to God. You know, this is what the Bible tells us. Right? God's specialty is in rescuing those who cannot rescue themselves. You know, Jesus frequently said, you know, they that are well have no need of a physician, but they who are sick. He has come for the sick. Who else has Jesus come for? Right? Those who labor and are heavy laden. So the psalmist here remembered what was the state that he was in. He remembered, right? He remembered his circumstances before he was delivered. You know, deliverance is given by God to us, not just to deliver us, but I think it's important for us to know that deliverance is given to us that we may remember what were the circumstances from which we were delivered. I think that's important. Deliverance is not only given to spur us on to love God more, but it is given so that we may remember them. What does Ebenezer mean? You remember? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, what was Ebenezer? What was it? It's a rock. It was a stone, right? You remember the part in 1 Samuel 7, you know, 1 Samuel 5, 6, 7. You know, the ark of God was taken in battle. The sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were killed. Eli heard about that, then he fell backwards. You know, the daughter-in-law gave birth, called the son, the glory had departed, Ichabod, right? It's a horrible, horrible time for Israel. And the ark was, you know, out of its place for 20 years. Then Samuel called all the people of Israel together at the plains of Mizpah. He said, pray, repent, put away your idols, right? You know, we have gone through all of these horrible things because of our idolatry. So Israel repented, the Philistines heard, they were gathered at Mizpah, they all came to attack, the Lord attacked them with lightnings and thunder, they all died, right? Israel rushed, you know, and took up arms and also killed the remaining Philistines. And it was then and there that they set up this stone. Until now, the Lord has helped us. So they set up that memorial to remember not just that God delivered them, but to set up the stone to remember the troubles that they had gone through. Why is it important to remember? Because I think it's very simple. It is dangerous not to remember. If we don't remember from what we were delivered from, we become presumptuous. Now, there's a short story written by Tennessee Williams. The reason why I remember it is because this was a story that my mom would always drum into my head. And the moral of the story is, son, you better have a good memory. You better remember. So I remember this story. The story by Tennessee Williams is entitled Something by Tolstoy. I think that's what it is, yeah. And it's a story of how this bookshop owner fell in love with this woman with a great voice. I think his name was Jacob, her name was Lila. And so they planned to get married, right? But she had such a great voice that an agent heard her singing one day and said, I'll take you to Europe. So he took her to Europe, and before she left, Jacob said, here's the key to my bookshop, right? When you come back, let's get married. This was, I guess, his engagement key, engagement ring, right? So she went away. She was so popular that for 10 over years, she was away. Now, during that time, he immersed himself in his books, in his study. So when she came back, she went into the bookstore. She came to him, and he came out, and he said, can I help you? Right? And so, startled, she tried to describe things to him that would probably jolt his memory. And she said, yes, I'm looking for a book. I can't remember the title. But it's about this couple. He was a bookshop keeper, right? And she was a singer. She went to Europe. He gave her a key. So he looked at her. And he said, I think I remember something. It sounds really familiar. I think it must be something by Tolstoy. So he went back to the room to try and look for the book. She dropped the key out of great distress, and she left. And when we don't, well, it's a short story, it's, you know, by Tennessee Williams. But the point is, when we don't work up that remembrance, we forget the very things which ought to be most important to us. If we forget what God has done. Now, that's why God knows that we are very forgetful. And in order for us to remember the gospel on a monthly, weekly, or half-yearly or yearly basis, on a consistent basis, what has the Lord given to his church? It's a sacrament of the Lord's Supper, so that we would remember, right? Because we are prone to forgetting. And this is something that all of us can take very lightly. We can take lightly his atonement. We can take lightly the purchase of his blood for us to be part of the church. We forget our love for God. We forget our love for the brethren. That's why we should never forget the deliverance that God has given to us. So that's the second point. Third, we learn from this that the psalmist responds with grateful acknowledgement. The psalmist responds with grateful acknowledgement. Now, how does he respond? There are four ways here. How is he grateful? We see, firstly, that he acknowledges God's character. Verse 5, right, he acknowledges three characteristics about God. What are they? Well, he remembers God's graciousness, he acknowledges God's righteousness and mercy. Secondly, what else does he do? He acknowledges his condition. Verse 6. Now, how does he describe himself in verse 6? God preserveth the simple. Right? Now, the word simple here basically means silly. God preserves the simple-minded, the silly ones, the gullible ones. That's what he's saying about himself, and that's what we are. Thirdly, he acknowledges his need. Okay? He acknowledges his need. Verse 6, I was brought low and he helped me. That's the second part of verse 6. Right? So these are the things that he acknowledges about himself, which show his gratitude. Fourthly, the fourth way is that he acknowledges the help he has received. And that's what he says in verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. So, because the Lord has delivered me, I will love the Lord, right? And the Lord hath dealt bountifully. So the three points we have seen thus far are, firstly, he resolved to love God. Secondly, he remembers how the Lord delivered him. Thirdly, he responds with grateful acknowledgement. And lastly, he resolves to praise God. Now, verse 12, he asks, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How was he going to respond to God's deliverance? What was he going to do? Verse 13, he would call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14, he will pay his vows before the people. You know, this speaks of public worship, public sacrifice. Verse 17, he will offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I mean, just as a way of application, we have all, as I said, we go through a lot of problems. We read from Job that, you know, anyone who's born of a woman, his days are few, and his days are all filled with trials and trouble. But the Lord delivers us because he loves us. We need to remember, right? We need to acknowledge the gratitude, and here we need to praise. There needs to be a sacrifice of thanksgiving. How we live, how we worship is an indication of how we view the Lord and the deliverance that he has given to us. I think a very good example of ingratitude is found in the account of the 10 lepers, right? Jesus healed the 10 lepers and then he told them, go and show yourself to the priests. But we only learn that one returned to give thanks. Only one returned with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, what were the reasons the other 9 had? You know, a myriad of reasons. I was already getting better. Oh, you know, anyone can do this. Maybe the cure is not real. Or, you know, maybe one decided that he never had leprosy before, right? Maybe one said, oh, any teacher, any rabbi could have done this. And this really does not show that we remember. You know, there's a saying, a drop of praise is an unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of mercy. I like that, you know. It's by a Methodist pastor. He said, a drop of praise is an unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of mercy. So as we look at this psalm, you know, it's good for us to once again recall the kind of troubles that the Lord has rescued us from, our own sins, and to determine how much do we resolve to love God, to remember what he has done, to acknowledge our gratitude and his character, and to respond with praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We do not know who wrote it, but we know that it was the Holy Spirit who ultimately penned these words. And we thank you, Lord, that it shows us what our attitude should be toward what the Lord has done, how he has delivered us. We do forget. At times it doesn't even take us 10 years. It takes us a much shorter time than that, Lord, to forget. And so we pray that there will be greater remembrance, greater gratitude. And we also pray this especially for the church as we meet this Lord's Day, to partake of the elements. We pray that it will be a blessed time where we can remember, and remember in such a way that the word will affect our hearts. We will draw closer to Christ as we repent of our coldness, as we stir up our desires for Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins, for they so hinder this work of grace in our hearts as we resist, Lord, that work by our lack of penitence. So we pray, Lord, that you would do this for us. Soften our hearts while it is yet and called today, that we may not harden our hearts to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.